Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Welcome to the Hawks Talk Podcast, brought to you by your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealers. I'm Pat Boyle, joined by 2010 Stanley Cup champion Adam Burrish. Hey, Adam, how you doing?
I'm doing good, PB. We're starting to get some sun.
Well, finally, might be able to dust off those golf clubs and put them to use. I know the Blackhawks, unfortunately, have been able to do that if they found some warm weather. My question to you is, as you watch these Stanley Cup playoffs and then you size up the Blackhawks roster the way it is now, has that changed your thoughts or your perception of how far away this team is from competing for a cup?
I don't think they're that far off. I certainly think they're not on the level. They're not on the level of the teams that are in the playoffs. I think when you watch, you're like, man, whatever system that the NHL came up with, it works because these are the best teams. And you can certainly, if you compare them to watching the Blackhawks team, they're not there. I don't think they're that far off. But I think, you know, there's been people, Eddie Olczyk was one of the guys at the start of the season that said, I don't think this team with this roster is good enough to make the playoffs. And he was dead on. I think if you roll this same exact roster out next year, do I think they'll be, you know, what were they, a high 70s, low 80s point team? Absolutely not. I certainly think they'll be a higher point team. Just guys are going to have better seasons just with because of luck. They had a lot of bad issues this year, I think. But I still don't know if you roll out the same team that they're a playoff team. I think they'd be a bubble playoff team next year with the same roster. So for me and everybody in the organization and fans, that's not good enough to say that. Everybody wants this team to be in the playoffs and compete for cups every single year, and that's the standard. So I think for me watching, I certainly see a gap between these playoff teams and certainly the teams that are going to compete for the cup. The Blackhawks certainly are this year, we're not at that level.
And right now everybody's chasing the Pittsburgh Penguins, having won back-to-back cups and taking care of Philadelphia in six games. You know, when you look at the Penguins, I think there's a lot of similarities, Adam. You look, they won the cup in 2009, and then they had a dry spell until 2 years ago. And it's some first-round exits along the way, maybe not to the point of not making the playoffs. But, you know, they've got some high-priced guys like Crosby, Kessel, Malkin, and then you look at the additions like Hornquist and Jake Guentzel, who had four goals yesterday, and yep. Brian Rust. I mean, these guys are in their third seasons and second seasons, and they're playing huge roles. So I guess I'm trying to say is, you know, Hawks fans, you may have some hope, because not only are the Hawks chasing the Penguins, but the blueprints, they're not that far off as to, you know, salary cap makeup, star power makeup, age situation, and then asking the young guys to come along and kind of reinvent the team. Do you see it that way a little?
Yeah, you nailed it, PB. I mean, you're dead on. And I always, you know, think back with Taves, and people want to say he's over his prime, past his prime, which I disagree with. I think back to a guy like Sidney Crosby. Don't forget, a few years ago, Sidney Crosby was asking or was telling Jonathan Taves, listen, you're the captain of Team Canada here. This is all you feel comfortable with it. That's how much respect he had at that point of Taves being the best in the world. We're two or three years removed from that. These guys and Taves, I know him, and guys like Crosby, these guys are not 40 years old. They are still in the primes of their career. So Taves will certainly have a bounce back year from where he was. He's not going to continue this path, I don't believe. Malkin, he's taken a beating over the years. You talk about a guy that's been through a lot of hockey and plays hard too, plays big, hard minutes and a big body. And he doesn't seem to be slowing down at all either. And you talk about comparables with contracts. Well, this Guentzel's going to be up for a contract soon, and he keeps lighting it up like he is. They're going to have some financial troubles trying to fit this guy in too, because he's going to demand big dollars. And then a guy like Hornquist. But I guess when I always think about the Penguins and the Blackhawks and teams that win, You have to have some young, unexpected guys that step up and score big goals like this Gensler guy has. And, you know, I think of the Blackhawks. For me, a guy like Vinny Hinostroza kind of fits that mold. He'd be a guy that you could see if he was in Pittsburgh, he'd be a guy we'd watch the last 3 years now, scoring these big 3-4 goals in a series. And a guy that an unnamed guy or a name that doesn't get brought up a whole lot, all of a sudden, who is this Vinny Hinostroza guy? He's a guy that, for me, would be a very valuable piece for this Blackhawks team come playoff time just because of the way he plays. And then, obviously, DeBrincat and Schmaltz, these kind of guys are going to be guys that are going to be huge impact players in the playoffs for the Blackhawks. But I think the comparison is exactly that. And so for fans that are worried, well, what are the Blackhawks going to do? The Penguins is your example. The Blackhawks, with their guys, the experience that they still have in that locker room, which you can't discount. You can't discount being in these big situations and being able to draw on those experiences in games when you're sitting there in a high-pressure, tense situation on the bench, knowing you're up next for a big faceoff or a big penalty kill in a Game 7. If you've been there, you're a lot more relaxed than you have been if you're not there, or if you're a young guy, when you can look over and see Seabrook and Keith and Taves and Kane looking just, no problem, guys, we got this. It relaxes everybody, and there's not many teams in the league that have that core group of guys that have been there and done that. Pittsburgh and Chicago are probably the only two that do, and I think L.A., you can see that they're starting to slide down the other way a little bit, but their experience is what gets them there almost every season.
A lot of people wondered if Artemi Panarin's game is fit for the Stanley Cup playoffs. I think the bread man has dispelled any of the thoughts to the contrary. Look, he's been game five a little bit of a step backwards, but he has been awesome to watch. I wonder what goes through Patrick Kane's mind as he watches Panarin do his thing. What have you thought of watching Panarin so far this postseason?
No, I think he's been outstanding, and I have no problem saying that when the Hawks made that trade a summer ago, I didn't understand it. For me, you've got a top 10, top 15 certainly, if probably certainly a top 10 player in the NHL, a scorer, an 80 to 100 point score, just mark that down every single season. Those guys don't come around often, and to move a guy like that, I understand salary. Take away the salary cap and all that kind of stuff. For me, it was find a way to make this guy work to stay here. You can't lose a guy like that, was my initial thought. And again, it's early. Assad didn't have a great year this year, so it makes it a lot easier for us to say this. The team missed the playoffs. The team played poorly all season. Assad had a terrible season, which is who he got traded for. So, sure, all that in hindsight is easy to say, but take it back to when it happened. I think a lot of fans, and I would have to agree, would think, how can you get rid of a guy like this that had that chemistry like that with Kane? Now, I think Schmaltz will you'll see increased chemistry and production with those two. But, man, to give up a guy, a game changer, a game breaker like that, that you don't get, every year. You don't find a guy like that in the draft. You may not pick a first-round pick for 3, 4, 5 years that can be as impactful as an Artemi Panarin was and will be going forward in the NHL. So, man, I don't think it's obnoxious for anybody to think that this trade was not a good one for the Blackhawks. Now, financially, maybe it made sense, but overall for production and in-game and excitement and, chemistry with your best player, I think Panarin right now is Artemi is looking like that one may have not gone so good because this guy is so dominant. And what does Kane probably think? He's probably thinking, gosh darn it, how did I lose this guy? This would have been pretty fun to make a little run at this another Stanley Cup with this guy by my side.
When we come back on the Hawks Talk podcast, we open it up to you. The mailbag will be open for Adam Burrish next on the Hawks Talk podcast.
Whether you're on the go or stuck at work late, don't miss a second of your Chicago Blackhawks. All NBC Sports Chicago games, including pre- and post-games, can be live-streamed on the NBC Sports app. Wherever you are, you're there.
Back on the Hawks Talk podcast, mailbag time. All right, here we go, Adam. We tweeted out and put out through Facebook and Instagram. If you had a question, hit us up with the hashtag Hawks Mailbag. And let's start with Jen Perez. She wants to know, do you guys think Q should have made coaching staff changes this offseason? The power play was very concerning this year, and I'm worried about that next season. Your thoughts on what Jen has to say there, Adam?
Jen, great question, and I agree with you big time. I think the power play was one of the biggest issues why this team struggled all year. And yes and no, I'm surprised that that coaching changes weren't made, whoever was dealing with that power play. Because a lot of times I think that is coaching. I think a power play, you know, it is a lot of it comes down to coaching and where you're telling players to go and setups that you're giving them and situations you're putting them in. That's all coaching. Players rarely go rogue and start doing their own thing on the power play because the coach will yell and scream at you. That's the one situation in hockey where coaches really do control the setup or how you come up the ice and the setup in the zone and where ultimately you want players to be. That's a coach's call. Players will give input in meetings, but ultimately here's how we're going to set up today. It's on the board before you go out. You'll have a meeting in the locker room. And boom, that's where the guys go once they go on the ice. That's coaching, and so am I surprised that changes weren't made there? Yeah, a little bit, I think. But I also understand that usually your assistant coaches, you give the head coach that choice, that ability to pick his assistants. That's who he's got to work with. That's who he's got to sit in the office with every day, you know, for 12 hours a day. And they're generally his friends, people he played with, people he gets along well with, which is also worth something. So I'm certain that Quinville and those coaches are going to dig in deep this summer to figure out how to make that better. They're all going to work at it. I'm sure just like you're concerned, Jen, about it, I'm sure they're more concerned about it. They'll spend a lot of time on it this summer trying to get it right.
All right, next question from the mailbag is from Shaylin Brady. She wants to know, what was your favorite moment of the 2017-18 season? I know it was a bit upsetting, but there definitely were some awesome moments along the way. So dive into that memory bank there, Burr. What stood out to you as one of your favorite moments from this past season?
Well, 100%. My favorite moment was PB, you and I sitting next to each other watching Scott Foster, the accountant, set his hot dog down and walk downstairs and pitch a 7-for-7 shutout for the Chicago Blackhawks after getting beat 7-5 the night before over at Johnny's Ice House in his men's league game. Comes in and shuts down the red-hot, high-flying Winnipeg Jets to no goals to secure a win for the Blackhawks down the stretch there. I thought that was probably one of the most exciting hockey games that I've ever got to sit and watch just because of that. Colin Delia playing in his first NHL game. Then Scott, or whoever, Forsberg was supposed to start,
right,
gets hurt in warm-ups, and then all of a sudden Delia has to play his first NHL game. And then Brent Seabrook celebrating his 1,000th NHL hockey game.
Forgot about that.
And then
that,
all
yeah.
of a sudden, Delia gets hurt with cramps, and Mr. Scott Foster, the accountant, who played 10 games ever in college hockey, now he gets to go and play an NHL hockey game over from Johnny's Ice House. Just that was incredible. That was without a doubt the highlight of the season for me.
I'm right there with you, Adam. I thought it was awesome. 36 years of age, and all I can think of now is, when Scotty Foster is sitting watching right now, the Winnipeg Jets get ready to take on the Nashville Predators, and Line A lines one up, and Stastny lines one up, he's going to be like, oh, Rene couldn't stop that. I shut those guys out at the United Center. So it's just a cool story. And one last thing, we would be remiss to not mention your buddy and a friend of mine as well, Patrick Sharp, final lap at home there. You know, that was the only bonus about not going to the playoffs. A guy that had an incredible career, that hoisted the cup 3 times, that was a fan favorite, got that kind of ceremonial exit that you wouldn't get if you were in the midst of a playoff series and the season just came to an end. So that was kind of cool as well, too, Sharpie.
Yeah, that was 100%. That was I never even thought about that, PB, but you're right. I mean, since they didn't make the playoffs, you could orchestrate a few more things appropriately for Sharpie. Just an icon in Chicago here for me and for the Blackhawks. You know, he'll go down as one of the greats to ever play for the Blackhawks, certainly. And so for them to be able to do that, and it was actually kind of funny. And that night when the game ended, PB, we went upstairs. We did the show from the booth that night. You went up early because you're professional and you get there and get everything set up for me while I'm straggling behind, eating chocolate chip cookies down below. And
oh, yeah.
As I was walking up, I heard kind of this big roar, and I was in the tunnel behind just about getting to where the Zamboni doors open up, and I just kind of looked out, and that's when I saw it on the board, Duncan Keith kind of pushing Sharp to go out there and take one more lap. So I kind of ran up there right by the Zamboni doors that they had opened and just stood there and watched everybody stand up and Sharp take kind of a victory lap around the United Center and waved everybody. And I got chills running up and down my body standing right down there on the ice watching him take a lap. And, you know, obviously a good friend of yours and a good friend of mine. And that was a pretty special moment. I know how much it meant to him. So that was a pretty neat send-off for Patrick Sharp.
All right, next one from the mailbag. Bill Ballmer wants to know, what do you think the options are for a backup goalie if Crow is ready to go next season? Then his follow-up is, could Bobby Lou be an option? I'll just jump in there real quick. Bobby Lou's 39. You know, he had a .929 save percentage in 35 games this past year. Hell of a career, but at 39, I think he's probably thoroughly entrenched there in South Florida, and I don't think he would be the direction you'd want to go with a backup. I can just tell you a couple of the free agents that are going to hit the market: Carter Hutton, he's 32, Michael Hutchinson, Anton Khudobin, and Antti Niemi are just a few of the names that are out there. So just quickly, your thoughts on some of the options if Crow is indeed ready to be the number one and they have to go find a new backup in place of Forsberg.
Yeah, you know what? I think for me, and you can find a backup. I don't think that's a stress for the Blackhawks at all. There will be a big market for backup goalies. There always is. And, again, the concern is just that if Corey can get healthy. I mean, if he can get healthy, yeah, you could go and find a backup that can do a reasonable job. People can say, oh, their goalies this year were no good since Crawford got hurt. The team wasn't any good in front of him either, by the way. The defense in front of him was not strong either. So, you know, if that got tightened up, your goalies will look better also. So finding a backup goalie, for me, you know, almost, I want to say, whatever. They'll find that. There's plenty of good backup goalies, you know, for reasonable, cheap price tags. If you need to go down that road and you don't think you have one in your stable right now, the Blackhawks will have no trouble going and finding a backup goalie. There's plenty of names.
Next question comes from Megan. She asks, when will Vinny Hinostroza be re-signed? He's a restricted free agent along with Duclair, Hayden, and Yurko. And July 1st starts free agency. I think they've got some exclusive negotiation time just before that. So I got to think, Burr, that Vinny's at the top of the to-do list for Stan Bowman and Hockey Ops, right?
Yeah. I'm a little surprised this hasn't been done yet, but I would guess before July 1st you'll see something with Vinny done. They're not going to let him slip away. I mean, I don't know what the negotiations are, why nothing has really been done exactly yet. Maybe it's term that they're working on to figure out. You know, there's some other pieces. A lot of times there's other things. The team will say, listen, we've got a couple of it. We're going to get to you. We're going to sign you. It's a priority. But we're trying to figure out some other moves that we're going to need to make, you know, in year two or year three, which will be year two of your contract in this four-year deal that we'd like to give you. So, you know, there's other moving pieces a lot of times that they need to shoot for. You know, when they're signing contracts, they're not just looking at, okay, next year we're going to sign you for next year. Well, Vinny probably wants some term, a 2-3-4-year deal. So now they need to look to years 3 and 4. Who do we have on contract then? Who's coming up in that year? So that's probably why it's taking a little longer. But, yeah, I'd be surprised if that didn't get done sooner than later.
Next one from the mailbag. The Chicago guy asks, I got Jets in 7 over the Preds. I think this series is going to be great. Who you got in it? First of all, with the Chicago guy, I agree, man. I think, like, to this point, and we both love the Stanley Cup playoffs, I think it's been kind of tame. We haven't seen, you know, just this you know, total locked-in series where you're sitting on pins and needles. I think we're going to see that in this Jets-Preds series, don't you think?
Yeah, I think so, too. I think it's going to be absolutely awesome. You know, the Jets, what I think doesn't surprise me, what jumps out to me is just how big they are. I mean, they just got guys that are monsters, and they're physical. I mean, that's finally the one team that, when I watch them, it gives me a little bit of that old-school hockey back, where they're physical, and they're big, and they're skilled, and they're fast. I just think that one's fun. Then you match it up with just the speed and tenacity of Nashville. It's awesome. That one, I think, will finally be one that can really, but I agree with you, PB, that can get you on the edge of your seat, because so far right now, it's been it just feels like every night teams are still feeling each other out. Is every night you just don't have that bite in any of these series yet. But I think that'll start getting cranked up here real soon. And I've loved watching the Vegas Knights. I think if there's a team that I'm cheering for right now, it's Vegas. Vegas and Nashville are the two teams that I like watching. I like how they do things. I've got friends. I cheer for my friends. I've got friends on both teams. So those two teams are the teams that I've enjoyed probably watching the most, just because I think they play exciting hockey. It's up and down, and they'll play with a little bit of physicality. So I think those will be awesome. Yeah, who's going to win it? I don't know. I would still pick Vegas or Nashville to come out of the West, and I think it's if I'm going to pick one, I'd pick Tampa, I think, to come out of the East. But God, Pittsburgh, I just whoever's going to knock them off, whoever knocks them off, that'll be who goes to the finals.
All right. Well, it's been fun so far. Again, this Winnipeg.
Well, you got PB. Hang on. Come on.
I'm gonna go. I'll go with Nashville. But I'm starting to think that maybe the Jets are the team. If it comes down to goaltending, Hellebuck has been. I mean, he's had a Vezina Trophy like year, and in the playoffs, he's had a .924 save percentage and a couple of shutouts. If you look on the other side, Pecorine was yanked in the previous game before getting the shutout in the clincher. So you might have a slight edge to just how they're playing right now, Hellebuck, and that, you know, ultimately could be the difference. So I'm hoping Nashville pulls it out. I'd like to see a Nashville-Vegas Western Conference final and anybody but Pittsburgh in the East. That's just the way I feel. I'd like to see I don't know, this Washington – Columbus series, you know, Washington has a 3-2 series lead. You know, the first two games go to overtime, or first three games go to overtime.
Yeah.
It's almost like the team that carries play doesn't end up winning. Like, Columbus owned Washington in the third period the other night, outshot them dramatically, but, you know, they got it to overtime, and ultimately the Capitals came through. That's going to be an entertaining game to see if Columbus can push that to a game seven.
Yeah, I agree. I agree big time.
All right, bud. Great stuff as always. Thanks for joining us, and we'll talk to you later on this offseason.
Thanks, CB. And if the finals end up in Nashville or Vegas, maybe we can get NBC to pay us to go down there and do one of these shows from Nashville or Vegas.
Amen. We'll start working on that right now. Thanks, Burr.
All right.
That's it for the Hawks Talk podcast, brought to you by your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealers. I'm Pat Boyle. Thanks for listening, and we'll catch you next week.